Good morning, everyone. Y'all come on in. Let's get today started. It is Q&A day, and we are concluding our theme on making all things planning easier in your life. If I sound a little hoarse, it's because I have been on stage for 5 straight days, just coming off yesterday. And today I was like, I wasn't even hoarse yesterday, but for some reason today I'm sounding a little. I got some allergies going too, so that might be part of it. But I want to answer your questions. So if you have questions about planning, this is the call to do so. You can ask questions about our big planning guide that we gave all of you that I hear through the grapevine. Everyone is loving because it's making plans, following plans, understanding plans a lot easier. A lot of you are saying you're liking the recipes, all the things. If you want in the chat, tell me something you love about the new planning guide that we released this month, and so that I can read a few of those, because I would bet you we will be having several No BS women in this membership. And if you feel very called out right now, I'm talking directly to you who have not checked it out and you still think planning's hard. We have literally given you a guide to hit the easy button. So if you also know, right on cue, when I have no voice, the leaf blower guy is right outside the window. He just fired up. Oh my God. So you killed it at camp. Camp was great. Aren't you supposed to be in Vegas? We are going to Vegas tomorrow. So we're home today. I have calls all day today. So I've got y'all's class, I've got a business class to teach. Got another class to teach after that. So, no rest for the weary. I'll be going though tomorrow. What is the big planning guide and where do I find it? Wendy, it is inside the membership. So for all of you, if you will go to the website where it says this month in No BS, there is a huge planning guide. I mean, it is the guide that we wrote for all of you after like just researching, asking and asking. What do you need from us to help you make food planning so simple that even a caveman could do it? So, let's see. Planning guide and recipes are so easy and they are super fun to make. Thank you for sharing, Lisa. Carol says it's awesome. It hits all the possible hard times to plan. And I think that's one of the things that I love about this guide is a lot of times, like when you join diets and stuff, I mean, they can give you some awesome recipes. They'll even give you some grocery lists and like they can give you some plans. And that's wonderful. Except the problem people run into when it comes to planning is my life is not predictable all the time. Like 80% of life is pretty predictable. And this is just with studies over the course of ages and ages and ages. If you were to track your life, 80% of your days are pretty routine. 20% of the time is very unpredictable. So you might have kids that have practices all over town. You might be caring for an elderly parent who needs to go to doctor's appointments and stuff. It's very predictable for y'all that they're going to forget shit. Like kids are going to forget shit and you got to go home and get it. So you need backup plans for when those moments happen. It's very predictable that elderly parents at the last minute have to go to the doctor, have these other things. That's the predictable part. This is the thing that y'all get hosed on when it comes to planning. You think that stuff is not predictable. You think that's the stuff I can't plan around, Corinne. I can't plan around when my boss wants me to stay late at night. I can't plan around all these things. Y'all, that's called regular life. If it's happening, this is what I always tell people. When you say, I can't plan around this because this always happens. Anytime you say this always happens, we ain't got something that's unpredictable. Now we have a very predictable life. Let's just assume kids are going to have to call out sick to school. That's not unpredictable. So you may have one plan, but you need backup shit to that. That's how successful people get shit done. They're not sitting around with their pearls clutching them like they're fucking gold and hanging on to pity party whoopies. All they do is when they have those things, it's like, it's very routine that my child gets sick, like at least once a week, one of them's sick and can't go to the daycare and can't go to whatever. It's very predictable. At least once a month, once a week, mama falls and has got to go to the doctor. Like every week, at some point, my boss drops a landmine on my desk. This is predictable shit. So we make what we call what we think's going to happen plans. And that's what you do in the mornings. And that's what you can do in weekly plannings. And then we have over here what's called break in case of emergency plans. When this happens, I do this. So if my kids forget their shit, and I had the chicken laid out, I had the potatoes washed, it was all ready. My Martha Stewart moment was coming. And that little shit left his stuff. Fuck, fuck, fuck. I can't ever follow my plans. I'm never going to lose weight. All because Junior left cleats at the house. Please, God, tell me that no one in this membership is going to say I can't lose weight because my kid left his cleats at the house. That is not true. So you might not be able to cook dinner, but what can you do? That's what we got to be thinking about. What can we do? Well, on the occasions when stuff isn't going the way I would like, I can go through the drive-thru and order these things. And here are the drive-thrus that I know I could get something that would be in the spirit of weight loss. So I'm going to have that backup plan. Because I'm done using my life as an excuse to not lose weight. We got plenty of emotional eating that we do to work on, ladies. Let's stop using our life as a big golden goose excuse as to why we can't lose weight. If you're going to lose weight, you got to lose weight with the life you have. You cannot wait for the life you want. Because we got to create that life. So we want to make sure that we're thinking about that. And that's why plans are so helpful. And that's why this guide is so helpful. Inside the guide, we give you a lot of emergency case scenarios. If this happens, then do this. If you can't do this, then try this. We tried, like, literally, I know you bitches. I know you like the back of my hand. There is no excuse. There's no woman coming in here who has such a ratchet situation that we can't figure out something that can work for you. And I know a lot of you really believe that your situation is unique, the hardest. I just don't understand. You don't get it. I get that. But the problem with that is when you say that, you will never, ever be able to lose your weight if you're going to hang on to the idea, I can't lose weight because. It doesn't work that way. We've got to switch to, I'm going to lose weight and figure out it anyway. And a lot of you just need to be reaching out to us more. I'm just going to tell you, when it comes to the planning, if you really feel like you can't plan for some reason, really need to reach out to us, because I will tell you, the women who plan tend to lose more weight, but they also tend to lose it faster. And it's not because they're planning none of their favorites. It's not because they're not spontaneous. It's not because of any of that. It's because when they're planning, they now know what's getting in their way. I make this plan, I seem to not be able to follow it. And that is signaling that either if I'm not following it, it's because I have these emotional needs going unmet. If I'm not following it, it's because I don't have a plan B. If I'm not following it and I'm not losing weight or I'm gaining weight, it's because when I can't follow the plan, I go into fuck it mode. So now I got to unlearn fuck it mode. Planning isn't just about doing it right. Planning is about giving you an illuminated path as to what unique things
you're going to need to work on in order to permanently lose your weight. So for example, let's say you make a plan every day and you don't follow it ever at night, ever. You have planned 365 straight days. You would be better off because at the very least, we could look at the last 365 days. Hang on, my glasses got up in my extension. We could look at the last 365 days and we could dissect what is the most common reason why you're breaking your plan at night. We would have that information. We'd be able to look and see, like, are you planning enough fun food? Or are you trying too hard to over diet all day? Are you planning too little food during the day that sets you up for binging at night or overeating at night or blowing it at night? Are you planning realistically for your life? Are you always thinking that I should be eating this, I shouldn't be eating that, or it doesn't matter if I'm busy, this is how I should be eating. We're not planning with seasonality. We're not planning with our life. And like Patricia says, that's me. I'm not planning enough fun food. Yeah, you got to start planning that. We talked a lot about that at both camps. We did diet detox and we did the queen of our life. And that was a common theme. So many of you are breaking, like, it's like, I'm getting the fun food. If you're not planning enough fun food, but you're breaking it, I just want you to tell yourself, I'm eating plenty of fun food. I'm just doing it in a way that prevents me from losing weight now. Because most people, when they break their plan to be able to get the foods that they really want, they don't honor hunger enough. That is most people. Most people who plan for the fun foods and put the things they want on their plan, they don't break their plans as much. They follow their doable hunger a little bit more. They rarely do fuck it eats. They don't need to. It takes down the temperature of those foods. They start having more pleasure in their foods. This is the big thing about planning some of the foods that you love. If you've been restricting mentally by, like, I'm making really strict plans, I'm having to hold it together to follow them, I'm barely able to follow them, and most of the time if I break them, I'm like going off the walls. That's not a good recipe for weight loss. And thinking that you're somehow just going to be able to, like, get strong enough, this is not a strength or weakness thing. Part of eating and our ability to be able to lose weight has to do with also how much pleasure we're getting in life. And for a lot of people, we don't have a lot of pleasure in life outside of our eating. We're just working, getting through the day. Doesn't mean that you have a shitty life, but we have, like, a demanding one. We have to do stuff. And sometimes eating is the only way we have any enjoyment, any fun, any moment to relax. And so if you're breaking your plans for that reason, that's signaling, I need more fun in my life. I need more breaks in my life. I need more of something in my life. Because if I filled that actual real hole, if I filled that emotional hole, I probably wouldn't have to look to food so much to give me my truest needs. Okay, we have a question. Thank you, Susan. Let's see what you got to ask today. Y'all can go ahead and use the Q&A box if you want to put in your questions. I initially loved the idea of being able to pivot midday. However, what I found was I started using it to break my plan often. How could I change my thought that pivoting can help rather than be a green light to break my plan? You just did change your thought. You have to tell yourself in the middle of the day, Susan, pivoting can help, but it is not a green light to break the plan. So in that moment, you ask yourself, am I just trying to break my plan or am I actually pivoting? And I will tell you, Susan, you will know. And you know how I know? Don't tell me you won't. The reason why I know is because this question says, I already know the difference. I wouldn't even bring this up if I didn't know I was already doing it. Now in the moment, when you catch yourself, you've got an amazing trigger. Your trigger is you see yourself adjusting the plan. And in that moment, you need to ask yourself, is this a real pivot that I need? something's going on that requires me to pivot the plan, and that's what I want to do. It's like it's lunchtime. Some things came up. I know I need to do something else the rest of the day, so I'm going to just reset my plan real quick. Or are you sitting there and thinking, man, what I planned this morning just doesn't sound as fun? Like, you know, I wish I'd planned something else. It is in that moment that you tell yourself, hey, it's okay to pivot when we need to, but this is one of those moments where just giving ourselves a green light to break our plan. And what we really need to do is, like, if I'm thinking this doesn't sound good anymore, you need to ask yourself why. Why does it not sound good now? If I change the plan, that sounds better because, and that will give you what you're really looking for. That will be more fun. That will just be easier, whatever it is. And then that gives you the stuff that you need to know. It's like, oh, I'm looking for ease today. I wonder why that is. Am I stressing myself out? Do I have a super busy day? Do I really just want to stick to the plan and ask myself, is what I've got planned, is it really that hard, or am I just tired? And it's not going to be that hard. And I could follow through. It might not take as long. It might not be as bad. That's how we work through all of that. Kate says, I was listening to an older quick hit and Corinne mentions, just get good at planning. Don't even worry about following it if you aren't doing even step one. Exactly. That's where I need to start. I haven't made a single plan every single day of 1 month ever. That's okay. I'm not concerned that you haven't made a plan every single day for a month. I will tell you, if you're planning, I would be more interested in, on the days you don't plan, why? Do you have a legitimate reason? Sometimes we have very legitimate reasons for not planning. Sometimes we are, like, I will give you a really good example. Today is a good example. Corinne did not make a plan today. I only made a work plan. I got up this morning. I have been on stage for 5 days. Like, before that, I was in meetings, and teaching classes and all the things. I haven't had a break in, like, a while. Let's just put it that way. And this morning I got up, and when you haven't been able to check in for a while, that means that your task list is piled. So just because I go and do, like, big events with y'all doesn't mean all my other jobs. I'm just like all of you. Like, y'all come to our events, you go home, and what's left? Dishes, laundry. You're lucky if anybody did jack shit while you were gone. You go back to work. No one's checking your email. No one seems to be doing your work. It's like, it's just waiting for you. And the same thing happens to me. And so this morning, I just asked myself, like, do you need to make a plan today, or do you want to just get your tasks done? And I was like, I just want to get my tasks caught up. I really want to get my tasks caught up. And I just sat and thought for a few seconds on, like, what felt like the best decision for me today. The first thing I told myself is, I feel like you can make good food decisions today. Like, I've got the last of my JJ food here. I know we're not going out to eat tonight. We are not ordering Uber Eats. I just kind of did an assessment. I was like, you're pretty set to make decent decisions, so we don't really even have to bother with planning. The next thing I asked myself was, what would feel truly the best? For me, knocking some things off my list was going to feel the best because I already knew I had my back on the food. If you feel that way, that's great. Now, if you're not planning on some days because you tell yourself you don't have time, but you actually did have time, and on the days you don't plan, you are not following through, you are not able to eat in your best interest and stuff, that's when we tell ourselves, hey, even though it feels like you don't have time, we're going to do it. It's a good lesson for you. Like, this is the thing I'll need to tell myself. If you tell yourself, well, you don't have time, but anytime you don't make a plan when you don't have time, you always end up eating like an asshole. Like, if you kind of notice that as your pattern, then you just tell yourself, hey, here's what I don't have time for. I don't have time for regrets tomorrow. I don't have time to go to bed tonight feeling bloated or bad. I also do not want to spend my entire day just impulsively eating because I don't have a plan. And that's where we just have to have that correction moment. So we just tell ourselves those things. So this is what I was kind of talking about at both events, is that when it comes to weight loss, one of the most frustrating but also liberating things that there is that there's no right or wrong. There just isn't a right or wrong. There is what is happening in this moment and checking in, because in no BS, if there was ever going to be just a simplified sentence about how to lose weight, it would be this: think before you eat. That's it. I'm going to answer that question, Mish, in Q&A. Let me answer some of the Q&A questions, or we're going to, or I'm not going to have anything to talk about. So that's what we need to be thinking about. We are going to think before we eat. That is the most important thing we can do. And it's think before you do anything. It's like, before I don't make a plan, let me think about this. Is what I'm saying real? Do I truly not have enough time? Am I in the middle of hoovering some candy because I'm stressed in that moment? Think before the next bite. Can we put this down? What need are we really trying to fill here? What's really going on? And like, just kind of take a big deep breath and just say like, I'm so glad I'm starting to think before I eat. Because thinking before you eat will allow you to start figuring out, here's the things in life I really need. Here are the things in life that food represents to me. And if you're ever confused by those things, go to Ask Coaches. We always can help you find the deeper reason. And I will tell all of you, the deep reasons are not things like stuff you need to go to therapy over. Most of the time, the deeper reason is, I'm just fucking tired. And I'm going to have to decide, is tonight the night I leave dishes in the sink? I mean, sometimes it's the smallest of little things. It's like, can tonight I not do a load of laundry and do the dishes in the sink because I'm so tired? I'm just going to go to bed and still instead of eating. And I just now got to not feel guilty about that. I've got to learn how to realize there are just some times I'm not going to do those things. And that doesn't make me a bad mother. And it doesn't make me lazy. And I don't need to, like, that's unnecessary guilt. Those are all those things, I swear to God, are keeping us overweight. And that is the stuff we specialize in helping you with. All right. I got some questions. Going to Barcelona on Friday, healing from a lifetime of anxiety and panic disorder. So I'm very excited. That's awesome. But how do I plan for eating out 2+ meals a day for 8 days, not knowing what my options in restaurants are? I can set an intention of eat to enough, but what more can I do? 1,000 things. First, you can go to that guide, because that guide's going to be chock full of that. We talked all about in that guide, how do you travel? How do you do the holidays? How do you do all the things? I'm going to Vegas now. I leave on Thursday, and I'm going to be there for 4 or 5 days. And we know where we're going for breakfast, but we never know the rest of it. I mean, like, we might go out, we might order in. I mean, like, we love to just kind of leave it up to interpretation. But here is what I know. I know that when I'm on vacation, how many desserts a day I'm going to have. I know if I'm going to nibble off other people's plates or not. I know if I'm going to eat out of bread baskets. I know if I'm going to have an appetizer and alcohol. Like, I know a lot of that stuff. I know if I go to restaurants, if I'm going to search for, like, some meals, I'm just going to search for protein. And some meals are more about trying exotic things. I know all that stuff. And I would almost bet you that every single day, it is not like y'all are going to be blindfolded and, like, spun around in a circle and shoved into the streets and, like, go find food. Usually when people go on vacation, especially to, like, Barcelona, when we get there, the first thing we do is, like, where do you want to eat? Like, let's ask around. What are good restaurants around here? We tend to do that the entire time. The second you know That is the moment you plan. This is what's going to happen at this meal. This is one of those restaurants that we looked up that I want to try a lot of things. So that's going to make my ordering very simple. I'm going to be trying things. So what kind of things would I want to try? And what things are not going to be worth even eating? Some restaurants you're going to go to and you're just going to be like, that looks good, but it's just lunch. I've had pasta before. Maybe I'm going to go fresh fish today. Like, that's how we do it. It's when we think, y'all have this idea that planning is like, I got to lock it into the nth detail and I shouldn't ever waver. That is not planning. That's called dieting. Planning is, I'm going to think before I eat. And I'm going to think about, like, if I'm on vacation, enjoyment, pleasure, physical. I'm going to think about all of it. Like, when I go on vacation, I do a big mix of stuff. So some meals are just for pure pleasure, pure enjoyment. Some meals, they are for pure fiber. Because I know Corinne. Corinne goes on MSNBC's lockdown when she travels. If I am not careful and I don't get some fucking fruit and vegetables in me, if I don't get that stuff, I am not going to be shitting. And I don't like not shitting. I mean, I know y'all must think Corinne is a weirdo. All she wants to talk about is her poop. But I'm just going to tell you, poop's a big deal to me. And I am cranky and I am achy. I don't like the plumbing clogged. And so when I go on vacation, that becomes a priority. So when you're on vacation, you just need to be thinking about, like, all your needs, your emotional, your fun, your enjoyment, your entertainment, your physical, all of those need to get a voice. And that is all you have to do. And especially for somebody who has, like, anxiety and stuff, that is the way to not be anxious, is to be thinking about your needs and taking care of them. I am realizing I have a lot of diet mentality. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to attend camp. What suggestions do you have for loosening that grip of diet mentality? When I put fun foods into my plan, I'm frequently second guessing about how that is going to affect the scale. Okay, Sue, you're not going to like my answer. You're going to put the fun foods on there. You're going to do this for a solid month. And then you are going to see what happens on the scale. You're probably very wrong about what's going to happen. This was something that I taught at both camps over and over again. And I will just teach all of you. Your brain is not a crystal ball. Like, Sue is like, brain is like trying to say, you're doing code for, well, if I eat these foods, I am going to gain weight. Because otherwise you wouldn't be afraid of that. Like, I know that planning fun foods doesn't make you gain weight because I have done it thousands of times since 2005 and not gained weight over it. I have watched thousands of Nobius women do it. Every single one that stands up and says, like, I lost weight, I'm like, oh, did you just eat perfectly clean? They're like, no. Like, I ate a lot of my favorite foods. This is what I did, blah, blah, blah. And all of them lost weight. You know the people who usually don't lose weight in here? Are the ones who refuse to plan the fun food. The ones who stay afraid of it. The ones who keep blaming food as the reason why they're overweight. Because they get really stuck and trying to focus on what they're eating instead of why they are eating the way they're eating. You need to ask yourself, like, am I going to be brave enough for 30 days to plan the fun food to see what actually happens? And I mean, you got to give it at least 30 days. Because, like, let's say that you've been eating Keto Fabulous for 4 weeks because you're so afraid of, you know, a loaf of bread. And then the first couple of days, you eat a sandwich. And God forbid, you might even have a bag of baked Lays with it. The scale is going to go up. But it ain't going to be because you're fat. As long as you didn't overeat, the only thing that's happening is that sorry-ass glycogen weight that you lost that you're so proud of that ain't got anything to do with your ass cheeks. It's just the shit in your muscle that went flat. And when it's gone, guess what else goes? So does your muscle. Like, most people compliment people who got some tone. But nobody's walking around going, man, your liver looks so thin today. God, I think you wasted some muscles. That looks great. No one notices that weight. The only people that notice it are the people on the scale. And so you're going to replenish glycogen. Glycogen in muscles, for all of you, is just pretend it's water. That's the easiest way to describe it. Your muscles, they get pumped with glycogen. And that's why, like, people like me are always trying to replenish glycogen stores. We always want those glycogen stores in there because then we're more focused, our brains work better. We can lift heavier weights. We look better. When our body is pumping us full of glycogen, it ain't pumping us full of fat. So you eat a sandwich and some chips. Well, the next day the scale will probably go up 1 or 2 pounds because your body is like, thank you, baby Jesus. We can quit wasting muscle. Now we can put glycogen right back into her muscle. And then what happens though, is you get your happy ass on the scale and you're like, oh, shit, I gained 2 pounds. I knew I couldn't eat a sandwich. Mathematically and scientifically, it makes zero sense that you gained weight. Except to you. To you, you acting like it makes all the sense. But the rest of the world knows that's not what's happening. So if you don't overeat or restrict because of that, then you don't get caught up in these overeat and restrict cycles. Every time I eat a fun food, I have no control. So what we want to do is we want to do it for like 30 days. And you need to tell your brain, you are not a crystal ball. You are not a fortune teller. You do not fucking know what's going to happen the next 30 days. You got a lot of fear. You got a lot of guesses. You got all kinds of things. But you do not have some kind of divining rod that's telling us what's fixing to happen. And a lot of you have got to start trying things instead of not trying things because you think you know what will happen. And what I was telling everybody at the camps is, you better go earn the right to say those things. Try things for real. Not for a minute or not until you get pissed. For real. And see if you're wrong. That would be my best advice to all of you. See if you're wrong. And if you don't believe me, sit down with a piece of paper. I did this yesterday with the diet detoxers. I was really trying to tell them, like, y'all gotta try some stuff. You're so afraid of these things. You think you know what's gonna happen and you don't. No one knows what holds tomorrow. All we know is what we're going to do today. How are we going to show up in every moment? That's really all we got. You write about everything in your past that you can possibly think of that you thought would happen that never turned out. Like all those worries. Well, that didn't actually happen. Like when I was in elementary school, swore I wasn't ever going to get married. When I got divorced at 21, swore I was never going to get married. No one would ever love me. I was always going to be overweight. I was always going to be just getting by in life. I didn't have a college education. All those things. Boy, was I wrong. I didn't think my baby would ever drive. He goes and gets his own breakfast every day in his car. So I want you to think about how often you're wrong. And the sad part is we're wrong all the time. We're the worst predictors as to what's going to happen because we always think the worst is going to happen. And usually what happens is things turn out way better than we thought. And sometimes we're really surprised because it's like, it turns out excellently. None of our fears come to fruition. And then even if it doesn't go the way we thought, it rarely ever is the worst case scenario. And yet we sit on the sidelines of life, not making 24-hour plans, not putting foods we like on our plan out of fear. Because we just think we know what's going to happen. You don't know what's going to happen. You've got to plan those foods and build safety around it. You've got to get used to eating them long enough to where you don't feel like you're going to take them away anymore. You've got to get over that hump. And then food gets so much easier. I just got out of the 30-day group. I need to finish an OBS. Yeah, I want to do the meal planning course, but not sure what to do. What is October course? Getting overwhelmed. You just need to finish an OBS. There's no meal planning course. All we did this month is give you a guide that you can use alongside an OBS. In fact, you're not even behind. In the next iteration that I'm writing right now, that meal planning guide is a part of the OBS course. I just couldn't stick it in right now. It's the only thing. Technically, we were, it was just like a technical issue. So like, I just want you to see, Anonymous, that you're like, I'm overwhelmed. And usually overwhelm comes from, there's too much and I must be doing it wrong somehow. This is, again, where our brain loves to be wrong. Our brain is, most brains are like, the second I feel overwhelmed or the second I'm worried something can't happen or whatever, my brain says, you must be stupid and it must be too much for you and you must be doing it wrong. It's like, well, thank you, brain. I really appreciate that bullshit. And here's what I know, Anonymous. You were exactly where you need to be. You asked the perfect question. You were right on track. You should be finishing an OBS. You knew exactly what you were supposed to do. Like, I need to finish an OBS. You typed it in. It's like, yeah, that is an amazing thing that you knew. Your own intuition was steering you in the right direction. You're like, huh, meal planning course. What are y'all doing with that? Like, it'll be there when you get done with the OBS course. And it's not even a course. It's a really handy dandy guide. So if you want to print it, you want to peruse through it and be like, oh, when I'm planning, I've got like a whole section here that'll tell me what to do if I can't follow my plan. Oh, like maybe I'll try this recipe. That looks interesting. You get to do that. And if that feels like too much, you know what? You just finish the course. That's it. Everything that's out there right now is always there for you. And you found your way to this call. I would consider you, Anonymous, doing extra at this point. You're such a go-getter that you're doing extra and you know so much about what's going on. And I think that's pretty amazing. So finish your course. If you want to print the guide, print the guide. If it's too much for you, guess what? You know that. Don't print the guide. And then next month, when you're ready, the next course, that we do a monthly course some months, not every month. This next month, we're just doing one called No Excuses. If you've got the time to do it, do it. If you don't, don't. But finish the course. That is literally it. A lot of people lose weight only doing the course. And they just like, man, if I get a chance to catch a call with Corinne on my phone app, that's what I do. And I'm just going to lose weight doing that. People, I want y'all to know, you can make this program as helpful as you need it, or you can make it as hard as you want. I would suggest making it customizable for you. That is why I do the things the way I do, because I want you making it customizable for you. I do not want you thinking, I got to do this and this and this and this, or I'm never going to lose weight. I want you to think like, I'm so glad to be in a place where I can do the things I need to do to lose weight. So I get to pick and choose some stuff. So we're going to do the course and then you decide, do you want to join us next month for No Excuses, or do you want to keep plugging through the course? And then just pick up later, because it was going to be right there waiting for you. When you were eating just because you were tired, what can you do instead of eating? First, we got to figure out why you're tired. You don't need a distraction. You need to solve for tired. I want all of you to think about this. What can I do? Like, I'm tired. Now I want you to give me something I can do. I'm like, how's those two things work? So what we want to do, Vanessa, is we want to ask ourselves, why am I so tired? Is this a going to bed issue, number one? Sometimes it's the easiest thing to do is just to fix. Like, is this a going to bed issue? Is this physical tired or is this emotional tired? Is another question I like to ask myself. Today is a good example. Today, I'm actually physically tired. And I should be. I mean, that's just like all of my people that have been at camp, especially the girls that went all 5 days, we should all be physically tired. We have been talking, we have been laughing, we have been crying, we've been doing worksheets, we have been hanging out, we have been learning and growing and pushing ourselves, we've been evolving. That ain't easy work. So we should be physically tired. So my question today was like, where are all the little things I can cut because I'm actually physically tired today? What do I have to do and what can I cut? If it was emotional, then I would ask myself, what's wrong, babe? What's going on? If we're emotionally tired, like, what's worrying us? What's making us anxious? Like, are there things happening right now where I'm reading into things? Am I catastrophizing somewhere? Am I jumping to conclusions anywhere in my life? Am I not speaking up for myself in certain areas? And then sometimes we have things like a combination. I'm stressing myself out all day long at work, telling myself I'm not doing enough. I'm not doing a good job. Like, we kind of live on the edge, and we'll have a high demanding job. And what we'll see is, like, no one's coming to fire us. Like, I coached several people this weekend on work stress, and it wasn't so much the work as much as it was, I'm sitting around feeling like I'm not good enough while getting promoted, also getting raises. No one's ever writing me up. I'm not getting called into the office. In fact, I get extra projects, probably because I'm the only one that they know will get it done. And yet I'm telling myself I'm not good enough. So we just want to look for, why are we tired first? Because the biggest disservice that I could ever do for any of you when it comes to weight loss is give you things to do when there is a deeper rooted problem. And when you say, I'm eating because I'm tired, I'm like, I want you to solve for tired, so that now you get to feel rested and the eating goes away. The desire for the food now goes away and we're really taking care of you. What most of you want to do is like, I'm fucking tired emotionally and physically. So instead of eating, I'm going to crochet. I'm going to go do laundry. I'm going to go walk. I'm going to do these things that feel productive and lovely, but I wonder why I never keep doing them. It's because underneath, I'm still tired. And like going for a walk and stuff, my brain knows that's not fixing it. So I'm going to like get you to eat. Because that is the one way you just do seem to feel better. Temporarily. Okay. My husband has stage 4 leukemia and has changed his way of eating completely. We have been watching so many videos on nutrition and what other people have done to heal themselves. I now find myself fearing foods. I eat my salads, fruits, and vegetables, but when I have cookies or ice cream, for example, I feel guilty that I'm eating those foods while my husband is fighting for his life and avoiding processed foods. I am struggling with still having these foods around myself and our kids. B, you just need to ask your husband, if we're eating these things, are you struggling? So often we feel guilty for no reason. And if you were just to ask him, do you feel bad that we're eating these things? He may say yes. And if he does, then that right there, like, you'll know he feels bad, will probably be enough for you to think like, okay, do I want to keep these things around or not? Am I willing to give them up for him? But usually when we're going to eat ice cream and stuff in this situation, you're probably experiencing what we call unnecessary guilt. Like, you haven't asked, but you assume this thought, I shouldn't be doing this because he's fighting for his life. Instead of, I'm so proud of him for changing how he eats. He's really fighting for his life. Which feels better. And so then the other thing that you can do is, like, when you talk to him and if he says, no, I don't feel bad. Like, I appreciate that y'all are supporting me in these ways, but if you want ice cream and stuff, it's not bothering me. Because usually for him, it's not bothering him because he's got like what we call mortality motivation. So he's not sitting there thinking what you're eating. Usually, he's not sitting there thinking about what you're eating. He's thinking about saving his life. It's not probably as big a deal in his head as it is in B's head. And so this is why I always say, like, Just find out what's actually happening and then decide how much guilt you want to have. If he says, go forth, my child, it's not that big a deal, then you just need to tell yourself every single time, this is unnecessary guilt. I'm just afraid for my husband. I'm not doing anything wrong. Because ice cream doesn't cause cancer. And I know that he's doing all these things to save himself, but also we know that there's no tie between ice cream and cancer. Now, he has cancer, so he has to do these. He needs his nutrition the way it is. But you don't have cancer. You're the support person. And part of supporting him is being honest and saying like, hey, because if you really feel guilty about it and he really doesn't like it, I think because you love him, it'd be really easy to give up after that. But I think somewhere deep down, you know, like, this is probably okay. I'm just feeling guilty about it. So let's just clear that up. I am not hungry until I eat something, and then watch out. When I plan, I eat everything in a compressed 5 to 6 hours. Is that okay? I wouldn't want to be that way. I'm just going to tell you my honest opinion. If you were eating things in 5 to 6 hours, and it is what you would normally eat over the course of a day, I don't think there's a problem with that. But if within the 5 to 6 hours, you are eating out of control and you're eating all the things, you're actually triggering a binging type episode. You're restricting and binging. So the only way to know the difference is for you to kind of look at, like, when I start eating, am I out of control eating, or am I eating for what I'm going to need for this day, knowing I'm probably only going to eat during a 5 to 6 hour window. That is just like you have to kind of look at what's happening and decide, like, is this for me the normal way to eat? Or am I just not feeling my hunger because I'm so used to restricting and binging, which can also happen. But you have to honestly just look at what you're doing and go through in that time and be like, let me watch how I eat. Am I making not great decisions? Am I frenzied eating? Am I eating more than I would? And if that's the case, we want to start eating what we call timed eating. You're going to want to start, like, I'm going to eat breakfast and I'm going to eat lunch and I'm going to eat dinner and maybe even a couple of snacks. I've got to slow down this hoarding that my body is doing. Okay. All right. You got to start answering questions now. Mish, I'm going to start from the bottom and you start at the top. I've been planning every day for 6 weeks and including fun foods. Weight loss is slow and steady, but have a holiday coming up and I would like to lose a bit faster. Should leveling up mean reducing fun foods or look at switching meal ingredients? Either one. You could do either one. And it just depends on I would be curious what slow means to you. Half a pound to 2 pounds a week is about where I want y'all. And half a pound doesn't mean slow. For some people, a half a pound a week means rock solid fat coming off. And then sometimes if you boost it to two, it doesn't always mean that you're doing it the right way. So like you could be a little too underdoing it. It may be like most of y'all will know if you are speeding things up and you feel like you might not be losing fat. So what I usually tell everybody is, like, I would like to know, like, the holidays are upon us. Okay. Let's say that you're wanting to look svelte for a party on December 1st. And we've got, we got 8 weeks. So in 8 weeks, you could be down 8 pounds or 16 pounds. Like, what is the difference between the two for you? Like, why is 16 better than 8? And this is what I really want you to think about is, you know, if it was to get you into a specific dress and all this other stuff, maybe you want to do that, but we're not going to do it as like an asshole. But for some people, when they start looking at, like, if they go from a half a pound to a pound a week and they kind of realize, like, I don't think I would feel much different. I don't know if it's worth speeding it up for the process, but you can level up. You can switch out ingredients. All that counts. You can plan a little less fun food if you want. As long as you, like, the way that I like to do it is, if I'm going to plan less fun food, I make sure I understand I really love my reason and that my reason is motivated. And here's the other side. When you get to your goal, you can't be telling yourself, and when I get there, I'm going to get to eat all these things. Otherwise, your brain is like, okay, duly noted. And you think about that the entire time. And then when the goal is over, your brain is on fire to eat all the things because it has been feeling restricted the entire time. Restriction doesn't always feel like it's unfair. Like, one of the ways to get through restriction is people will say, and when this day comes, I'm going to do this. And when this day comes, I'll be able to do this. And so restriction is like, okay, I'm going to patiently wait in the corner. Like, I'm there, but I'm just waiting. And then the second, like, the big goal, like a wedding, a reunion, whatever it is, hits, you've lost all your motivation. And then all that pent up, you can't have that because we're working on this and we're excited. All of that can't have it is like, here I am. I'm ready and I want it all. I want to make up for lost time. So if you are going to do that, and like for me, the way I tell myself is like, hey, I'm not going to have like nachos twice a week for the next few weeks. I'm just going to have them once a week. And then when we go back, I will have them two times a week. I get really clear about what it's going to look like. And I tell myself, and for the next few weeks, that is going to be perfectly fine. I'm not, and I'll say things like, I know I'm really not going to miss it. Like, I may want it sometimes, but I tell myself, like, you are not going to miss it. And I really try to talk about it like, this is not a big deal. Rather than talking about it like, when this is over, then you can have it, as if this is a big deal. We just can't have our big deal right now. And that is always going to feel like you can't wait to be naughty again or something. So just watch for that. I'm only losing a quarter a pound a week. Every other week, it's so hard. Okay, Natalie, just do what I said then. You want to speed up a little bit? Here's what I would try. Rather than trying to level up foods and stuff, how is hunger and enough working for you? Tell me what's going on with hunger and enough. Somebody says, what you keep saying fun food. What does that mean? Fun food is like your good foods. It's like, you know, am I going to have a Snicker bar? Or am I going to have a protein bar? Am I going to have full-on ice cream, or am I going to have low-fat frozen yogurt? Am I going to have Domino's, or am I going to eat a Lean Cuisine pizza? Fun foods are those things that you can include as much or as often as you want and stuff, but it's the foods that we would like traditionally consider, like, you know, they're not exactly going to make a shit regularly. You know, if you're eating McDonald's every day, you know, well, you probably are shitting real regular, might be shitting like a goose, but it's like all those foods that like don't necessarily have tons of nutritional value in them, but they provide the pleasure. They provide a lot of enjoyment. So like if I'm eating a salad, I wouldn't call it a fun food necessarily, but I would call it food I like. I love salads. I really love salads. But when I compare a salad to a plate of nachos, I'm like, now, nachos are a hella good time. And I really do like nachos. Like, I like salads, like all the things. But I eat nachos for enjoyment and pleasure and for a lot of reasons. And I eat salads more for my health. And I make sure I have a salad that tastes good. And I have a salad that always has carbs in it. Like, when I'm planning my salads, I'm usually thinking more about my nutritional needs along with my taste. And I've learned to love them. When I'm planning nachos, I'm thinking more about my experience. I'm thinking more about like the fun of it. And I'm thinking more about like the other side. Plus, sometimes I'm trying to interject a little nutrition into it. So like a lot of times when I have nachos, I don't drink when I have nachos. That's the way that I interject some nutrition into it. By taking away something, it's like, if I'm going to have nachos, I don't think I'm going to drink too. Because then the next day, I just know that if I'm eating nachos, number one, I love eating nachos. And so I already know that is one of the harder foods for me to stop it enough. So I do hacks. Like sometimes we order nachos and I will say, just bring me half, put half in a to-go container. Because the serving size at my restaurant is huge. I'm like, just bring me half, put half in a to-go container, and I will take them home. I also don't drink because I know when I drink, I tend to get sloppy with my eating because my reasoning brain's checking out. So I'm like, all right, when I have nachos, I usually don't drink with them. Every now and then I'll have one drink. But most of the time I'm just like, that's how I do it. So fun foods are more the foods that we're more interested in the fun part of it. And then other foods is like, well, we kind of weigh and balance the nutritional side of it a little bit more. But there's room for all of them. They all fit. Beverly said her small size of nachos at Brothers is also big. And Beverly, we literally put that on the menu, I think a week or two before y'all got there. Because the Epic Nachos, I think it's called Epic Victory Nachos, that was all you could order for a long time. And I was just like, oh my God, y'all, it's like we're feeding a small family. I wait for hunger. This is Natalie again. I wait for hunger stopping enough. I truly have that down pat. Is it possible that I just need to have to work out more than walking 3 days per week? We're not going to index on the working out, Natalie. So you know you're not overeating at all. Then I would do some level ups and let's just try that for now. Let's just try tweaking your recipes a little bit and doing some level ups. If you really feel like there's no overeating ever happening, like I don't overeat, like I'm always stopping enough, I'm always waiting for hunger. Corinne, I don't have fuck it moments. I don't have like 1 or 2 days during the week where I overeat at night or anything like that, or I don't blow past it ever. If that's the case and it's a quarter pound, the other thing is, Natalie, is to look at how much weight do you have to lose. Sometimes if you have less weight to lose, a quarter of a pound is actually a good significant amount compared to someone who has more weight to lose. So there's also that. You have over 50 pounds. Okay, let's start with some level ups. I think walking 3 days a week is fine. I wouldn't add in exercise just yet, but I would maybe, Natalie, just 100% make sure that you do some, try a monk meal for breakfast, lunch, and dinner on different days for the next few weeks. And a monk meal is where you eat in silence. We just did it at Diet Detox. And I want you to literally eat in silence. And I want you to be listening for everything that you think and just make sure that you're truly dialed on your enough. Because sometimes it may be that it feels like it's dialed up. Like I know for me, there came a point in my weight loss where I thought I was eating to enough. And what I was doing is I was actually eating to what I thought enough was based on the weight I had lost. And I didn't realize that I had hit a point in my weight loss where I really was still just barely overeating, but it just wasn't emotional. I just hadn't recalibrated in a while. So you can also play with that, but you can just, you think about what makes the most sense for you and start tweaking with that. And let's see what happens. Okay. That is all we got time for today. If we didn't get to you, no problem. Just go to the Facebook group. You can post your question there. You can go to Ask Coaches and you can post it. And all of us will be more than happy to help you there. I will see all of you next Wednesday because I am finally going out of town and I think I'm going to sleep for 4 days. I think that might be what we do. No, we're going to go to the pool. I'm going to work in the mornings a little bit. My damn team, they always want me to write content for y'all. I'm like, what? They need more content. But yes, we are in the middle of rewriting your No BS course. So I'm going to write a little bit and then I'm going to sun all day. This is the last pool trip of the year for the Crabtree. So we are going to soak up our sun and watch a little football. And I will see you next Wednesday. Y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.